So we're talking about Spaceman. What do you guys think?
I discovered something very important this week.
What's that?
I discovered that people do not have a natural fear of spiders. I looked it up. I always thought people had a natural fear of spiders, but it turns out that actually we don't.
So it's a cultural fear of spiders?
Yes, correct.
It's learned.
It's learned, yes. Little kids, if you put them in front of spiders, will be fascinated by them and not afraid of them at all.
That explains the UK, because in UK, people are more accepting of spiders because they're everywhere, because of the wet was from the darkness, and people have a tendency to name them. Oh, yeah, there's Fred, Fred's been there a couple years now. And maybe it's because also I came from the countryside. We see them more beneficial. We see them as getting rid of all the pests and
Yes.
I
My
spent.
daughter had two spiders in her room, and she was terrified of them until we named them Yaakov and Fathead. And that made them much more friendly.
I am a total city girl, grew up in the city, but I did spend a bit of time in the rural area. And then, yes, I think that you're right. It totally is socialized because, like, there are some people that are like, oh. And then I learned I hung around people that are like, wait a minute, you should not be so afraid of spiders. Spiders are great because they eat mosquitoes. So if you live in Manitoba, mosquitoes are your, like, they're your sworn enemy. So anything that takes care of the mozzies is your friend, right? So,
And
yeah, it sort of is
then you
just.
slapping it to a kitty for
Yes. And then our daughter had a tarantula and it was like in our bedroom for a while and we named it Kitty.
That's
And that was part of the thing because this is a kid who like had like really strange pets. She had like a snake, and so we named the snake Fluffy, and that was my idea, and she liked it to be subversive, to not be like
Yes.
to not let the like the the inner like thing that's like what the repelling thing. So if
Yes.
it was called a cute name, then like, and if it was called a name, then like you can't have as like bad as much bad feelings towards it or something. That was kind of my rationale
Yes.
there.
So back to the movie. If
And
okay,
that and
so
that so but just let me
watching
just
this.
finish. Like that's actually what happened. Like that at first you're like, what is this thing? But then as you get to know, as you be fr he becomes a friend and you realize it's not anything different for like, you know what I mean? As you make a connection, it's sort of so anyway,
So let's take a vote. Okay, how many of us think that the spider was real? I do.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know. I think I want to believe it's real, but I can see how it can represent, like it can just be like a symbol. Like I can see how it could be both things.
Yeah, I'm a pure sci-fi buff, I wasn't gonna lean on the sense of the unreal being
I
real.
want to believe it's real because I really do want there to believe there is a primordial creature like that who was born and like or was already present at the beginning of the universe, and who can travel through time and space, and who can go to Earth and see Lenka standing at the window and feel the dread by walking on her finger, and then come back to the edge of the universe on the chopper cloud and say to Yakka, pardon my language, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I want there to be a creature that, like, I want that to be real. So, I think that he's, I want. Hanush, I've already decided it's I'm calling it a he, whatever, but I do want Hanush to be real. Absolutely, I want him to be real.
And if so, what? Okay, we don't believe that he would really be in the shape of a giant spider, do we?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, okay, now this is just poetic license, or this is just, like the point of
Or
storytelling
nothing.
to, try to get messages across and whatever. But I think that was a deliberate thing. I mean, he could have been like a fluffy dog, or he could have been like, you know, a cat, or, you know, something like a bird or whatever. But they chose spider. I mean, I don't know why. Is this like in the book? Because this is a book. This is a book too. So like, I don't know what I didn't have a chance to look at what the story in the book is, but whoever decided it should be a spider, I'm sure that they chose that because that is the only thing at the edge of the universe. And it's the thing that we're usually going to be afraid of. And it's the thing that is the only thing there to comfort you.
Well, like where do you usually find spiders? At the center of the web.
Yeah.
So is this kind of the center of the web?
Well, I don't know. Is it? I mean, I don't, you know, thinking of it from a space point of view, is it?
Well, it's the sort of point of origination, right? This is supposed to be
if you think of that, if that is like the beginning of everything, because he's like, this is the beginning. Like, this is the, what did he say? He said, it's the repository of all things. Somewhere he said this, says, oh, the beginning is a repository of all things. It's something that you can't describe in your human language. So you're right. You're right. I never even thought of that. But that is like, he uses like wow. So what is that even? What is he? Is he like, I guess we can imagine.
Well, and the image of weaving, right? I mean, think about the Fates, right? The Fates were the ones that kind of wove who wove out the universe, right?
Right.
And so maybe that's sort of the image of the spider, right? The spider is this.
And what is he doing with Jakob? And Denka, what is he doing with them? He's sort of like unweaving, like. You know, he's not making more fabric. He is sort of like pulling a thread and undoing it, right? He's trying to say, well, how did this get here? Wow, look at this. And how did that? And he's pulling on it. And he also was going to her too. Like I didn't catch that the first time, but then when she's looking, you know, when she's standing by the window and she's looking at that spider, right? On her finger. And then she goes back and he's like, why is she so afraid? Like, why does she have so much dread? Like I can feel I can taste the dread on her skin. Like I can taste her dread.
Right. Right.
Like, and I love how, like, you're not told, you're just supposed to, you're supposed to pay attention and figure that out, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I love that he can travel through all. And so, you know, because I am, like, at heart, I'm a girl who believes in God. I'm, like, this so, like, you know, God being with you or something, traveling through all time and like, you know, being in all form and like knowing all things and he going in your thoughts and, you know, like, right. I don't know.
Yes.
I just know that's sort of where
but
that
we, takes we have a Catholic.
Me? Oh yes. I was born a Catholic.
So have you ever seen the image of Mary, the untier of knots?
I don't recall that vision, but yes, Mary was a very big figure in my
because there
life.
Is a special there's a special icon there's a special image of Mary untier of knots.
Oh, okay,
it's an image of Mary and she's sort of pulling apart these knots, like as in one who undoes.
Undoer of knots. I'm looking it up right now.
There it is, undoer of knots.
It's funny, I never heard that before.
Yeah.
And like I was like the most Catholic child and
ever.
I've not seen that image before. That's really neat.
There you go. You know? So it's interesting because he's untying knots, right? But he's also tying, right? He's kind of reconnecting them.
Yeah.
In some way, right? I mean the whole point is that he's distant from her and he's kind of running away. And so Hanush is kind of like tying them back together again also.
That's wild. That's really cool. I'm looking at it now. It's like a thing that became popular with Pope Francis. looks like.
Yeah, it's really quite, neat. It's quite a cool image. Yeah, it's really
my mom was really into this stuff, all the novenas, and cool. She had all the different things, and there's like a different one for each day of the week or whatever. I don't even know all the rules, but my mom was totally into that stuff.
That's neat.
So, yeah, I love that. It's a spider, and it's something that, like, at first you're supposed to be, like, repulsed by or frightened by, and, like, that he is at first. And, like, you know, every time he tries to get away, like, the spider, like, the Hanush is always there. And it's kind of like, even when he tried to get away from himself, because obviously he's got issues, right? Because he's got, like, a whole origin story himself. Like, he went to the flipping edge of the universe to try to get away, and he still couldn't. He still had to face who he was, right?
Well, you know, it's like Buckaroo Banzai. You know, wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly. Like, you know? Exactly. I mean, that's like, by the time you reach this age, we are all around similar, you know, age range. Wherever you go, there you are. Like,
you're talking about an age range if you can remember Buckaroo Banzai.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But really, that's a big deal, right? I mean, he goes to the edge of the universe, and he has to confront himself. So exactly what he doesn't want to do, right?
I really find it interesting. Like, I sort of tracked like how it like, you know, wrote some point for him. So when it opens, he is like in his spacesuit and he's in a dream. So he's in his spacesuit and he's like, you know, in this verdant landscape, in his dream landscape, like this make-believe landscape. And he's like walking through this like river, whatever. Right. And then he's like, he's awoken. So he's woken by his monitors on Earth. So, and then his wife wants to leave him. So, and they keep that information from him and he can't sleep. But he wakes up from the dream and the spider, like, you know, there's a spider coming out of his, like, you know, like in his dream, he dreams that like there's a spider inside him trying to come out, you know, remember that? Like the spider's coming out of his nose, or like the spider, like he pulls the spider out of his thing, right? And he wakes up. Like when he's dreaming. And so when he wakes up, then he's been hearing the noises of the, you know, the toilet is not whatever. Right. Mm. And all these things are like malfunctioning and stuff, and the camera, whatever. And then, you know, he has that dream of like the spider coming out of his body. And then he wakes up and Hanush is there. Right. And he starts to hear like the voice and stuff. Right.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, the lines between reality and like dream or fantasy or imagine or abstraction are blurred, right? Like the first thing you see when you go into a movie and the first thing you see that character doing is usually like a really defining thing. It's how you learn about the character. This is what the character is, right? That's a thing that tells you it's really important. So it's the first, how do you meet him? He's dreaming. He's not even like in reality, right? He's dreaming. He's off in some other thing, right? And that's like, you know, realize how important that is. But as you go, you realize like there is, you know, like a whole story to, you know, his pattern of who he is, right?
He's escaping his escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, like the whole thing is happening, you know, where, you know, he hasn't heard from his wife and his wife is upset and she sent that thing and she's tormented and she's leaving. But, you know, she thinks that she sent the message and he doesn't get the message. And, you know, there's this whole like, what's real and what's not, because everyone has like a different, everyone only has like a part piece of the information. And then there's like, you know, the, I don't know what her name is, Isabella Rossellini, you know, these people, the Earth, the control people, right? Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was like, and I love how he had to like, he had to say the corporate sponsorship thing so that he could like get the like,
that
you
was
know?
A gas. That was crazy. Where, you know, he's defogging fogging the ship for contaminants, and that line was just amazing.
Yeah.
If it works here in space, imagine what it will do for you. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yes. And then so like the arachnid just said that he felt his loneliness. He was curious. He wanted to know, he wanted to know more, So and then it's kind of and then it's I love the whole am I crazy? Is this really happening? And this is kind of in you don't really know, we're meant to have that experience. And I think that the movie is made so that he is real, but I love how you're challenged by that, it's because when you're in reality, sometimes you're okay, is this real? Am I right? You can question yourself all the time, right? You self-doubt, and then you fear. You're okay, yeah, I don't want to think those thoughts right now, right? Because he was having all these feelings and having all this discomfort, and there's a reason why he's lonely. I mean, there's a difference between being alone and being solitary and feeling lonely, right?
Right.
So I think that's maybe part of it. He was lonely and alone.
But also, he was a person who pushed away the person who loved him, right? So
exactly.
So I mean, I love the where Hanush says to him, "I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I nothing else to learn from you." Why? Because he's you've just pushed everybody away. So obviously, you want to be alone. I'll just let you be alone.
Yeah.
And then he gets desperate, and he says, no, I need this connection with you. I need
you're
this.
You're helping me.
Right.
He says that. But, that reminds me of, when you're, all of us here have had this experience because we've all been parents. And when your kid is just not cooperating and you have to do the thing of, okay, bye. And your kid is totally just being a little shithead, right? And then you do the thing. You're like, okay, see you later. I'm leaving. And they freak out, right? It's kind of like that, It's kind of like when they see that you're really serious and that shit's happening. He was kind of like that. He was just so childlike, And that was one of the interesting parts of the exchange with Hanush. She said, you never saw her. You only see yourself and, all the time that she was there and you didn't yearn for her. And then when she leaves you, then suddenly she becomes attractive or something, it was that kind of dynamic. And I notice how he really doesn't at the beginning, he really doesn't not like the fact that he's vulnerable. He resents this whole experience. He doesn't even want to have this exchange at first, right? I mean, that's why he's out there, because that's what he keeps doing. He keeps going away, because I guess he doesn't even know how to
Right. It's interesting. He also at one point he gives him permission. He says, "I'm now giving you I'm releasing the restriction on your coming into this room," or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of saying I'm going to open myself up to you just a little bit more,
Yes.
And to me, so if I'm understanding this, my inner sense is that this is let's say this is his shadow self, or this is some sort of part of his inner self. I'm having a Jungian moment at the moment, okay? So let's say this is some sort of aspect of his own psyche that's speaking to him. And in the form of a spider, right? In the form of this kind of, this thing at the center of the web that kind of, the cool thing about spiders is, they make this huge web and they're able to kind of experience everything that's on the web. At all times. So, they're sitting in the center and they feel a little tug and they know just pretty much, you know, what's, you know, how big it is by the way that it flies, by the way that it moves, what it is, and they come and they run and they get it and they eat it. So in any case, you have this thing, and he basically kind of opens himself up to it. You know, I think we all have that. We all encounter strange sides of ourselves and we block them out, you know, and somehow or another, he, and at one point, he even embraces him, right? Remember, he wraps his arms around him.
I thought that was really symbolic, because at first they were both like, no, don't touch me. Like Hanush was like, yeah, don't touch me. I don't want you to touch me. That's like, ooh, yeah. And he, and the other guy's like, yeah, like, I'm not touching you. Like, wow, I don't want to be in the same room with you. And then at the end, they're like, oh, like bros, right?
Right.
Like, and so I think that that is sort of like,
I mean, I think that's kind of any giant spider. I'm not like,
you know what's coming next? You know what's coming next? Robert probably can guess if he's awake enough. I want a Hanush stuffy. I want a Hanush stuffy. So anyway, I love how that's sort of like, I saw that as sort of like an abstraction of like his journey with his like dark self, or his like, you know, his whatever, right? Like, you know, it's kind of like the same thing as like wrestling with the Jacob, wrestling with whatever he was wrestling with, the whatever, you know? Yeah. So like, I just love that. Like, and how it was a spider, like how it's like, you know, a thing that's like, but you said all of those things that it does, you know, it does those magical things, like it spins and shit like that. But it's ultimately like it's like Aragog, or it's like, what's the name of the spider in the Tolkien spider? Does the Tolkien spider even have a name anyway?
Yes. Yeah.
What's it called? The Mirkwood spider?
You mean the one in the... water?
Wherever. I don't know. The one that wraps them all up and shit when they're traveling to wherever they're going. I'm sorry.
That was so...
Yeah.
So...
I know. I'm so articulate. I'm not a Tolkien person.
Okay. If you're talking about Lord of the Rings, with Frodo and Sam, it's Shelob.
Oh, Shelob. Okay, see, Shelob, and then what's the other one? Aragog, and now we have Hanush. So we have our collection of, like, giant spiders. I'm sure they're somehow related. I can't think right now, but I'm sure that if I thought long enough, I can find a connection between those three. But what this is interesting, oh, there's, like, the spiders. There's spiders. What are you laughing about?
It's like the duality of, you know, Shelob's evil, and... Maybe it was the good and...
Hey, it's like a trinity of spiders. Yeah. I don't know. Can we somehow hook that into something?
Holy well, family. No, we have to go to Charlotte's Web, and then we can just...
Oh, you know, there you go. Yes. Oh, my gosh. There you go.
You know, go
the
deep.
The spirituality of spiders in literature.
Yes.
I think we should have like a whole episode.
In, I think it's West Africa. Anansi. There's a whole bunch of stories about a spider called Anansi. He's kind of a trickster figure. You know, so
we could
do a whole special thing on spiders. I just want to say the ball jar. It's very hipster. Very hipster.
I really think we should say it. I think this is thought. I wonder if there's any other sci-fi movies where there are like extraterrestrial arachnids. Robert's on it. On there, the case, I'm sure.
There has to be.
Yeah.
Well, this one is really, like
okay, and you know the other thing?
Terrifying variety.
That sort of just gets not just mentioned, but I'm sure that it means something, but it just kind of slid past me a bit. When he's listening to the music, you know, he's listening to his classical music.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, it's Rusalka. And she's a water nymph, and she falls in love with the mortal, and they can't be together. That's in part of the movie. I wrote that down because I knew it would forget. So, and because this is like a Slavic story, right? Like this is like a Polish or like Slavic. So like I'm looking at the folklore of, because I have never heard of it before, of Rusalka, and I don't know, like, if it has, like, any relation or meaning or whatever.
Well, do you know anything about it? Again, a story of separation, another story of, you know, of love that's, you know, doomed. I did not understand the whole thing with his father. That was the one thing I didn't quite understand. I felt like it was probably something that was explored more in the book and is kind of referred to in the movie, but somehow or another didn't get fleshed out enough to really understand what his father did and why he felt a need to atone for it or something like that.
There's an extended director's cut.
Okay. That will.
Yeah. Sometimes happens.
Yeah, that's going to be because I felt like it was sort of like cut short. You were supposed to know something maybe you didn't know. I don't know.
In 19th century versions of Rusalka is an unquiet, dangerous being who is no longer alive, associated with the unclean spirit. According to Dmitry Zelenin, young women who either committed suicide by drowning due to an unhappy marriage, they may have been jilted by their lovers or abused or harassed by their much older husbands, or who were violently drowned against their will, must live out their designated time on Earth as Rusalki. However, the initial Slavic lore suggests that not all Rusalki occurrences were linked with death from water.
Okay.
So I'm imagining that this is somehow connected to Lenka, I'm guessing. And then also when the thing opens, he's walking through the river, right? Or whatever that is. So I don't know, like, if that's maybe in the book it's more, or maybe there's like a director's cut where there's some shit that got met. But I think that's kind of I don't know if that's important, but like, I think that the fact that he was listening to that music, like, they picked that particular music for a reason, right? So,
yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, and the thing with Jacob with his dad, what's that about? With the pig, this big pig being slaughtered and stuff?
That's the thing I didn't get is that his father was some sort of, he was on the wrong side of the revolution. Okay,
so I think this was like the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia. Right. And his dad was like an informant for the communists. And so his dad was considered to be a traitor because he was a good man who did a bad thing. That's how he described his dad. And so that's part of why Jakob always disconnects from everything, because he feels like he is carrying his father's sins, right?
Right.
And so maybe this is kind of like, since we are supposed to be talking about spirituality, that's kind of like when you do bad things, when you do sins. I mean, this is like, you know, really super Catholic. Now you can tell it was a Catholic. Like, those are the things that keep you from God. You're always told that you need to, like, go to confession. You need to go into the little box and tell, you know, disclose all your things. You need to, like, purge yourself somehow to have your soul in a state of grace, right? So, like, these are things that keep you from that. These are things, and this is like, you know, he's carrying that. And so he always has to go to, like, the edge of the universe to try to like catch a Chopra particle in a cup, which he can, you know. And then remember that scene where he's like, he's trying to capture the thing, and he's like, it just goes right through, and then he's just like, like, it can't be captured, you can't capture that. And then he realizes, are you kidding? I came out here all the way out to the edge of the universe to realize I can't capture this, and like, you know,
right? Well, then I'm not going to actually figure this out. I mean, I think that's sort of like where that's the ultimate is for him to realize, okay, this is not something I can figure out. And the ending is beautiful in the sense that he doesn't figure out the universe, but he figures out that he loves Lenka.
But he figures out the universe inside him.
Right, exactly.
And he realizes that that's like, because, you know, the other thing is, this is a primordial spider, that has existed since the beginning of time, that was there when the universe was born, that came out of his body. It came out of his body. It tried to come out of his nose. And then he like had to, like, he was like, right? So I don't know. I think that means something, you know?
I'm watching.
Yeah, and it's in the dream. It's very subtle, but you have to watch it.
I do.
Okay.
And that's something. Because he's timeless and he can go through everything. I mean, and he can go onto Earth and make himself into like a little, seem like he's a spider. And he said he's traveled all through everywhere. And he has never had, and the one thing that Jakob said, what should I call you? What do they call you? What's your name? And what did he say?
He said, would it make you feel better if...
No, but he said, I don't have a name. I've never had a name.
Right.
And remember what you said in one of your, one of your classes about naming things? What did you say about naming things? Something. You said something really like...
To limit something. It makes something... It limits a thing.
But then it's like you have a relationship with it and you get to know it and stuff, right? And you could like, right? And that, like, so like the naming of the animals or the naming of things, right?
Maybe we have to limit things to understand, to try and begin to understand them.
Yeah, well, I think that may be true, you know? That's why we name the spiders to make ourselves feel
scared. Exactly. Yeah. And so
we feel empathy with him.
But with the whole thing with his dad and like his, and then, okay, so his dad did that thing. His dad, you know, was like a informant for the commies. And then he was punished for that. He was thrown into the river, he said. Because she was asking him about that because she was trying to understand that and he never wants to talk about that. He was thrown into the river because his, you know, whatever. So, like, I wonder, like, the whole thing with the water nymph and then he is, like, walking through the river, like, with his spacesuit in his dreams and stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's something there, you know. There's something there to be with water. And then she, you know, like, at some point, she's, like, in the pool. Like, she's, you know, swimming and... You know, like, I don't know. There's like a theme of water but he is like uncomfortable with it. And she, I don't know. I just feel like I missed something. I have to go back and watch it again.
Well, she may be a water nymph, but he is a guy who walks through the world in a spacesuit.
Yes.
I hear he has this beautiful, lush environment and he's completely closed off from it.
Yes, exactly. And that like that is like what's the first thing he does when he sees Hanush? He goes and he gets in his spacesuit.
Right.
Like and then you know he can't like whatever. And then he's like, oh, you know, you can come out of your spacesuit, skinny human. Like, you know, it's like it's so like it's Hanush is the experience of like really like seeing himself. Because basically Hanush is just taking all of his thoughts from his head and saying, okay, why are you thinking that? And why are you thinking like when you know, they're like, wherever you go, I go, and wherever I go, you go. And he's like, why would you make such a promise like that when you know you can't even keep it? Like, meaning like, what kind of like monster are you that you made this promise and she loves you and she totally means it. She gave up everything for you. You piece of shit. What are you like, you know, like, and it's like, I wonder how, this is when I wonder if that's a real spider or if that is him saying that to himself.
Right. Because, so that's why I thought it was him saying it to himself. I feel like the reading of the thoughts is kind of like, it's kind of like a way of him reflecting his thoughts. Now, why a giant spider? I don't know exactly, but
because spinning, because the spider makes the spinning the web and stuff, something like that.
Right. But here, the spinning web is not to trap him; it's to reveal something to him.
Exactly.
I guess in the general, weave of fate. It is there's a problem and not, then the thing is to unpeel it off and create a stabilization.
So he's like the undoer of knots because he's dying. Remember, he's come back to the beginning to die.
Right.
So maybe now this is like, you know, the undoer, the undoing. Like, so the spider is being a spider, but he's being a spider, like, coming to the, when he comes to the beginning to die, maybe instead of weaving a web, maybe he untangles some things. Maybe that's the lesson. And then, you know, the other guy, Jacob, had to come to the edge of the thing and go into, you know, the cloud. And there's there's a point at which when they, just before they get to the thing, he's, all of his communication is completely cut off. He's cut off from, like, everything, right? He's cut off from Earth, and they can't reach him at all. And so, again, I think that's really symbolic, because that's like, we all reach that at a time where we feel completely cut off. And he's like, wow, I'm at the edge of the universe, almost at this, like, and I cannot reach anyone. I'm super alone. Like, to me, that was like a reminder of any of those times when you've just had this moment where you're like, wow, where it just occurs to you existentially how truly small and little and insignificant and alone and you are, right? When you just have like a glimmer of like, and that was like, just, I felt like that was a really great way of showing that.
Right. And if Anoush disappears out of it.
Yes, and everybody's gone dissolved. At that time. Really, yeah.
It really dissolves on him, you know?
Yeah, and it was just like, in a moment, everything is just gone, and you can be alone. You have no idea. Like, you just aren't, can't even be prepared for it, right? And there's nothing you could do. Like, you know, like, he's just this guy in a ship floating through this universe, like, and at the
South
edge,
Koreans,
right?
Come to the rescue.
Yeah, what is with the South Koreans? I didn't quite catch that. What is...
Well, they're on a race to get to the cloud first.
Right. They were just behind him.
Oh, okay.
So
it was more interesting. It was North Koreans.
Oh, that's right. But I think it was South Korean, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. 94-0.
Yeah, right.
Space technology.
That's right. It would have been. Yeah.
And so, you know, the other thing is when he was going through, you know, and he's asking, okay, so like when he's reviewing, you know, having to tell Lenka that he got this mission, and, you know, he's like, how come you, why did you welcome her sadness? Like, the questions he was asking were so pointed, like, that you wouldn't even think about that. And then he was like, almost like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you know. Like, you never even, you know, like, what is the value of her pain to you? Like, that's a holy shit question.
Right.
You know? Like, and you never thought of the cost. And she even said that to him. You never think of the cost. Like, because he couldn't. He never saw it. He could never see it. He could only see himself, right? And that's when he said, Anoush said, I'm uninterested in you. Like, I, like, you have nothing, like, you know, I don't want to, like, you know. Wow. Yeah. And then I don't know what was the thing with after then that point where he was alone and then there was the light, right? There was this light that was moving and he's spinning around. You remember that? He's just like spinning around. It was almost like all, like, he's in so much chaos. I don't know. Like, it was kind of like, there's so many things that like are not explained to you that you sort of just have to figure out.
Or maybe not. Maybe you just have to kind of like feel them.
Yeah, but I feel like those were some things, you know, when he was like spinning around and there were like, you know, the particles and stuff and like, you know, he's just letting everything circulate and like, you know, like, yeah, and just letting like it settle. I don't know. I feel like, what else can you do when you're cut off from the whole world and everyone's deserted you and
right. I mean,
just spin around in your own.
So he's literally disoriented. I mean, that's and I think that that's part of his experience. Maybe part of growth. Be spiritual for a second. Part of growth is that we need to be disoriented. You know, we need to. You need to have that moment where you, you know, you don't look at the map until you don't know where you are.
Exactly.
You know? And So maybe he needed to not figure out that he doesn't know where he is, look at the map, to realize that this is completely beyond his understanding.
And that he needed her, his mate.
Right.
And that's scary. Right? I mean, to need your mate. So I think that's part of it too. Like being, because this is all part of, you know, being in a, in a partnership where like there's some vulnerability when like, you know, you have to be willing to need that, like to let that guard down, you know? And there's one point when he has the, his Peter person or whatever, bring the phone and he's talking to his wife. And, you know, he's like, I don't deserve you or something like that. Like, I don't deserve you. And I was listening to this. It just reminds me of, you know, listening to like you and some other people talk about like, you know, like spiritual, you know, things. And like, mm-hmm. we don't actually deserve the actual truest, like, you know, the love of God, like from God. We actually never deserve it. We never deserve any mercy that we get. Right. So this is kind of almost like that. Like we actually never deserve it. Like when we're assholes to our partner, and then we come and we get seek forgiveness and get granted it. Like we never deserve that. It's just a gift that we get.
Right. No, I think that's part of love. I mean, human love also is it's a free gift. You know, it can't be. You know, it's never deserved. Right? There's exactly. nothing deserved, nobody I know deserves.
Exactly. You
know, to be forgiven over and over and over again. Who exactly. deserves to be able to share their darkest selves, who deserves to be able to, you know, to be able to let themselves be natural. None of them deserve. That's all a free gift.
Exactly. No. And it's humbling. And so that's part of it. Like, it's part of about not, you know, like resisting the urge to need to run away to the chakra cloud every time you have a feeling, right? Like yeah. to just stay and let it spin you a bit and not, you know, make any like monumental life decisions, like dashing your life away and moving to the forest, you know, or whatever, or, you know, taking an assignment that takes you to the edge of the universe for a year or something. Right. Like these are really radical ways to deal with your emotions. I mean, maybe, you know.
I love her last line where he said, you know, would you, you know, kiss me again? And she said, it was a great kiss. Meaning to say that, like, That connection, you know, that was an amazing connection and something that's still real for me and still means something to me.
Yeah.
You know, without getting philosophical, you know, without, you know, well, it all depends on whether you do this and then are you going to change this? Are you going to change that? No, we don't really know how the relationship ended up, right?
Yeah.
It's not a happily ever after, exactly.
No, you don't, but they just have agreed to not give up.
Right.
And so he had to go back to the beginning of the universe to see the beginning of love. And she, like, so he was at the edge of the universe to see, like, how he could find his way back. And she was kind of at the edge of the universe, too, because when you're alone and your husband is, like, way, like, oh, 6 months away, maybe he's never coming back, and you are very pregnant. You're kind of at the edge of the universe too. Like, right. So they were each at the edge of the universe and only like a spider was the only thing that could like be connected. And you know, what was the cool thing when this was like right before I had to stop. So like 29 minutes left and she's, you know, comes out, she's just had the conversation and she comes out. And there's her whatever persons, her lady, her roommate, whatever, sitting out there, and it's nighttime. And then the person's like, oh, can you imagine what it would be like to be up there and pointing up at the cloud? And the cloud is the thing. Well, it's the, you know, the purple cloud. And right. so she just talked to somebody who was up there. You know what I mean? So I thought she's looking at that cloud and he's like in the cloud. I mean, you know, that's like what you're supposed to imagine, right? So like they're connected but they are so far away from each other.
Right.
And then it sort of reminds me of Interstellar, where he was just on the other side of the
Right
bookshelf, but
on
he
the
was
bookshelf,
so far away.
yeah.
And so, like, sometimes something is so close to you and you don't see it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'm about to
So,
go to sleep.
yeah,
I'm about to
so.
wake up.
Robert can sleep for 20 minutes.
So yeah, that was like really, I don't know, that was really, I didn't really, I haven't, I don't know how book much different the book is from the movie or
I feel like the book probably fills in a
fills in
lot
a
of the
lot of
gaps that
gaps
we're
that
talking about.
yeah.
But I
I
like the
like the
fact
fact
that
that
there's so
there's
many kind of like open ends in it.
one thing, like some, I was just looking at like what other people's, said about. I tried not to like contaminate my thoughts, but I was just curious what other people thought. And something really practical, is like, what the hell kind of world would send a single human being in a spaceship to the edge of
Just
the universe? But like, who would do that? What society
tricks.
would send one person?
Tricks.
Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like that's not even reasonable. Like,
No,
that's
if that was
just
a medical
weird.
spaceship, it would have like 27 people on
I know. It's like,
it. Yeah.
There'll be a janitor on that spaceship.
Yeah.
that's just wild. That's the
Yeah.
only thing that just
That was
makes
weird.
me like, that causes me to question,
And that's all of another. Like, Bond was a simulation at one point. I'm playing on the movie net now in some aspects that there was maybe another passenger on a spaceship.
No, that was the guy. That was no, the guy, the spider.
No, I mean like the mission started off with more than one.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think there was something implied by that.
I don't know. I think I it seemed to me like they were talking about him like he was going to be all alone up there. And
Man.
also that he was sort of like psychologically predisposed to, like to be able to handle that because
Yeah.
he was a loner.
Yeah. Maybe you can find it. Maybe because it was a Czech-built spaceship, you can find any of the people on the
Right.
organets.
It's and it sort of, yeah, right. It sort of also makes me think, because I'm a Catholic, it makes me think of like the whole concept of Lent, which is, retreating into the
Yeah.
nothing, right?
Yeah, like
And
certain
resisting all
solitude
everything and being
and all
alone.
that.
And having all of your demons come and try to, eat you alive, and you have to
Yeah.
like brush them off and stuff. I mean, that's kind of
Although
really what the
they
story
don't really come
is.
to eat him alive. The demon comes
To give him stuff,
right? He's sort of
right?
like more like an angel in the form of a demon,
Yeah,
kind
but so that's kind
of.
of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Okay,
anyway,
guys.
I
All
think
right.
we've
All right.
pretty much talked about it.
I wish everybody a beautiful week.
Yeah. All
Don't work
right.
too hard.
Oh, I won't.
Robert,
We
it's
won't.
rest.
No, I need to wake up. I
Bye.
gotta go to work.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Next
Well,
week.
bye.
Bye.
Bye.